is. Yay.
Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Let's go, Murray. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Come on.
I'll go with a deep baritone.
I think I'll go for a walk outside. Now the summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. Gotta get out. Get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
What up, Paul? How are you?
Someone new graphics.
Yeah, no, and
I got a new graphic.
Yes, and they've kept you at a really
svelte,
nice weight.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had spindly legs.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's a very accurate portrayal.
All right, join us in our Town Fair Tire Studios, Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, known as Sunshine.com. Because things are always sunny and shiny down
there.
Yeah,
they're shunny.
In Foxborough, shunny, just to be short with it. So, a couple of Patriots things, and we'll mix in with all of our other conversation, okay?
Can I give you a quick peek behind the curtain before you get started?
Oh, sure. About how to fake being a team employee and filming other teams?
No, not that kind of behind the curtain. Behind the curtain here at Felger and Maz on the program.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you guys do your little email chain in the morning.
Yeah.
So Michael throws it out there. Obviously, a lot of baseball, so not really much of a need for sunshine.com. I get that. Understand that the Red Sox are front and center. So Michael throws it out there. Show of hands, who wants me in? Big Jim, I want to thank you for recognizing the wonderful contributions I make to the show.
I think the people need their Perillo.
And Jimmy Stewart, you know, the illustrious producer, also. Maz, yeah, I could take a leave.
I was a no. I was a hard no.
And Michael was a hard no.
See, but that again is a manipulation of my take. What I said was, I could go either way. Because Paul can talk baseball.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's right. So there was actually a compliment in there, but you ignored it. Like everybody ignores any good thing that I say, and they just focus on the negative.
Same. Oh yeah, does that sound like somebody you know? All right, so anyway, we're going to mix in some football here with Perillo. Patriots question number one. Is the defense a fatal flaw?
I think the defense is bad. I don't think it's a fatal flaw. And I don't see the defense overly improving. I just am coming to the realization.
You don't see it improving?
I don't think it will get much better than it is. I'm not going to say every game is going to be 40 points, but I don't think there's a lot of personnel issues over there that are going to get fixed. I think they're going to struggle against teams that can move the football. And in this day and age, that's pretty much everybody. There's not very many teams that don't have any answers offensively. However, just look around. What are the teams that you think are good defensively?
I know we talked about this yesterday. Name the teams in the NFL who are good on both sides of the ball.
Well, but forget about both sides. I'll take any team that you think is good defensively.
Right. Well, the
Baltimore.
I think Baltimore's played pretty well defensively.
Yeah. Okay, the Rams?
Okay. The Rams have been lit up all season. Personnel-wise, they should be good, but they're not.
How are the Bears?
The Jags have given up 40-plus points three times in the last 11 games. I think over 30 in five of those 11 games. And I think they're good. I don't think these teams are overrated. I think it's impossible to stop anybody.
How are the Bears?
They've been okay.
Yeah, the Bears' defense is pretty good.
They've been okay, but they gave up, 31 to Brock Osweiler? Mr. Brocktober.
They gave up 31 to
31.
Brock Osweiler.
Like I just think you can't.
And apparently, so I saw some stat too. It was almost 280 yards in his tackles.
Yeah,
like they've been a mess.
You can't hit receivers. You can't hit the quarterback. If you go big to stop the run, you're susceptible to the pass. So you have to allow other teams to be able to run. There is no answer that you have defensively. And, you know, I'll be Troy Vincent aside, who thinks this is just a phase, it's going to get better. No, it's not. Not until the rules change. Right now, you are powerless to stop any. Minnesota is supposed to be good, right?
See, I'm with you, Paul.
Defensively, they're supposed to be a pretty good team. And I thought they were good. You can't sustain it. You can't be consistently good on defense. Good offense now beats good defense,
okay,
in my opinion.
But here's where I do
draw
the line.
And that's why I don't think it's a fatal flaw.
Okay, here's where I do draw the line. And was I thought the worst part of the Patriots win the other day, to invoke Maz, felt like they lost.
Tony time.
So even if everyone stinks on D and you just have another stinky D, fine. You still should be able to stop the big play. Like, there's nothing in the rules.
You can't give up 40.
Right.
I get that.
And it's not just 40. It's 75-yard untouched touchdown passes where the guy catches it at 30 yards. Like, you should be able to stop that. And
agreed.
Especially the Patriots that spend so much time on it and are so hyper-conscious of not giving up big plays and getting back and all of that. For them to give up those plays, that, to me, I think is the worst statement from that game.
Yeah, the worst part of the 75-yard Hill play was they did get back. That they didn't get behind him. They let him catch it in front of him and still couldn't make the play. So, yeah, I agree with you. There's no excuse for the 67s, the 75s, 97-yard kickoff return. But let's face it. If they didn't give up a 75-yard touchdown, do you think that they wouldn't have gone eight plays, 75 yards for a touchdown? I think they would have.
Oh, no, they probably would have.
I mean, you just look at the game. I think there were 11 possessions. Kansas City scored on eight of them. The Patriots scored on nine.
But, I mean...
So they were going to score whether it was a long field, a short field, or anywhere in between.
It feels that way. But at least that's been what the Patriots have always been,
able to avoid the big play. In the last 2 years, they haven't.
And so they make you work it down. And if you do work it down, you work it down and you score. And then but eventually, if you don't, we will. And that's, you know, how they win. So I just think that's the thing. And we'll play some Bill Belichick sound that speaks to that. That's the one thing they should be able to avoid. Second question. Did you learn more about New England or Kansas City in that game on Sunday night?
Well, I knew the Patriots were tough. I thought the Patriots would win the game. We didn't get a chance to talk last week, so I think I learned a little bit more about Kansas City. I thought they were a little bit tougher than I thought they would be, and especially I thought if they were going to come in and win or have a chance to win, they would have to play really, really well. And obviously, you saw all the plays they missed in the first half. They overcame their own problems in the first half, clawed their way back from 24-9. Did anyone see that coming?
No.
At the half? I didn't.
No.
So I think I learned a little something about Kansas City.
How about Mahomes?
Mahomes can play. Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to have to improve because he can't make the throw into the zone. You know, you can say, well, it's seventh or eighth start, I guess. Yeah, you can live with a mistake here or there. But, you know, 2 years from now, you can't live with the same mistake, right? The bar gets raised a little bit higher, but... Physically, have you seen too many guys roll to their left and throw like that?
So the book was he couldn't roll to his left and throw, and he did it like three or four times.
No, he can roll to his left and throw.
Oh, man. But
I was impressed by the whole package.
Wasn't that the pregame thing that just, you know, prevent him from going right? He's made no big plays going to his left other than that left-handed throw in Denver? But I mean, again, but how many times did he stop on a dime, twist his body, and just chuck it? So he can do it all.
Yeah, I was very impressed with him. I was impressed, like I said, with the team. Defensively, they were down a number of players. They don't have a good defense to begin with, so I knew it was going to be a train wreck. And they didn't let that stop them. They just kept coming and coming and coming, and they eventually, you know, just lost to a better team, better quarterback, right? I mean, Brady's been there a million times. This guy's been there seven times.
I mean, to me, that was the takeaway, right? That Kansas City just didn't fold. Yeah. They just kept coming. And it was like, you know, they when they went ahead, I went, you got to be kidding me. I think it was, what, 33-30 at that time? I went, I can't believe the Patriots are behind in this game.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe it
at that point.
And when I say Kansas City, Michael, I don't mean that to sound like I wasn't impressed with the Patriots. I knew already. I didn't need what happened Sunday to tell me that the Patriots are mentally tough. They've been in these games a million times. To me, the outlier would be if the Patriots didn't respond in a situation like that. I knew they would.
If that game's in Kansas City for the AFC Championship game.
Oh, for the championship game? Here's where I can tell you I learned something about Kansas City.
Andy Reid.
But I haven't learned anything about Kansas City in the playoffs yet.
Right.
And, you know, last year they were home against a terrible Tennessee team, blew a huge lead and lost. They had the game in Indianapolis to a young Andrew Luck several years ago. Huge lead, lost. They lost at home to Pittsburgh in a game that they moved the ball up and down the field. Couldn't find a way to get it in the end zone. They lost. So until they find a way to win a game in January, no, I would say the Patriots would still win in Kansas City.
In Kansas, Patriots off and running, nothing to see here. AFC sucks. Here we come to Atlanta.
I'm going to stop short of that. I think there's some issues there still. Offensively, I think that we see the potential. But it's not that effortless, you know, we're just going to go boom, 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 boom. Here we go. Let's see what happens when Michelle's not racking up 100 yards. Let's see what happens when
100 yards.
The big plays at the end of the year, at the end of the game. I thought they did a pretty good job on Gronk throughout the game, and then they let him free for two long. I think 42 and 39 at the end of the game.
How healthy is he?
I don't think he looks great, and I think that's part of the reason why you're not seeing him targeted as much. I think he's dealing with something with that ankle that maybe they're not really letting on.
You still think the offense isn't at...
Oh, no, the offense is terrific. But I'm saying...
It can be better.
Yeah, I think it has a chance to
be... I agree.
I think it has a chance to be better, yeah. And if it is, then we're rolling like you're talking about.
Okay, let's mix in some football with Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly and Kraft Sports Productions. Again, an outfit that knows a thing or two about getting on someone's sidelines.
Did we confiscate Paul's cell phone before he came in here?
So
just
Paul,
checking.
As a member of Kraft Sports Productions,
I don't work for the Astros.
He'll be able to speak to some of the Astros' issues in this regard later on, but we'll get to your phones right after this.
I was impressed by the whole package.
Tugger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can you attribute it to anything in particular as to why the offensive output was so much greater in the second half for Kansas?
They're an explosive team. They did a good job.
You guys did a nice job limiting Hill in the first half. In the second half, you end up finishing with 7 catches for 126 yards and 3 touchdowns. What did they do differently in the second half to get him more involved?
Not much. I mean, he got a lot of it on a scramble play. I mean, look, they got a lot of good players, so there's a lot of production out there all across the field on both teams.
I just say that was bad. Bad defense, bad coaching, bad playing, bad everything. We obviously didn't do it very well in a couple of instances, so it's got to be coached better. It's got to be executed better. I mean, it's not a mystery. We've played almost every quarterback we've played has been a scrambling quarterback, so it's not like we haven't seen one before or it hasn't come up before. We just had a couple breakdowns last night. It was more than one play, but there were a couple breakdowns that were just – you know, ended up in bad plays, which we got to do a better job. We got to coach it better, and we got to play it better.
Okay, Paulie, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Just a total change of tune from Belichick, which you heard right there. Those first two answers were in the post game on Sunday, where he's asked about the big plays from Kansas City. He basically says, well, there's a lot of great players out there. The ball was all over the place. What do you want? It was that kind of night. Like that. That's essentially what he was saying. And then the next day, he's, you know, right around, nope, bad defense, bad coaching, we got to be better. So the second day, he got it right. The first day, he was really defensive about it.
Yeah.
But either way, that's it. I mean, that's just, to me, that's just in a nutshell. And it's the big plays. I mean, the stuff up and down the field, you're right. I mean, it's just, you can't hit the quarterback, you can't hit the receivers. Everybody sucks on defense. You should be able to prevent 75-yard touchdown passes.
And I agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment. And I got the same impression. I thought post-game, there was some references to the overall team speed that Kansas City had, and clearly all of the players, Harmon, McCourty, they were all talking about Hill, right? One of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy they've ever been against. Yes. But it wasn't just Tyreek Hill that was running wide open for the most part in the game. Kelsey was open. Hunt was open. I mean, they missed those guys on a couple of what I thought were pretty easy touchdowns in the first half. And then Bill was like, well, he was really fast when he was kept being asked about, and I agree with you, I thought it was maybe an effort to try to sort of prop up his defense and say, listen, I mean, in my head, I know we have a problem here. We have an athleticism problem. We're not stacking up, but I don't want to say that publicly and you know, throw my guys under the bus. And then I think the next day he was like, you know, yeah, we need to do a better job of that.
So you know what happened between Belichick after the game and Belichick the next day?
You just calmed down?
He looked at the film, and he said, yeah,
he knew that night.
We sucked in this game, like, and particularly in the second half. I mean, again, I just can't say it enough times because I think the number is staggering. The Chiefs had the ball for 10 minutes, and they scored 31 points.
That's all big plays.
That's three a minute.
And if you look at it, and I saw Mike Lombardi.
It's hard to do. It's not basketball.
Oh, my gosh, 3 points a minute?
Exactly the way Tony's talking about. And if you look at it, there were a lot of things in this game. I mean, the Patriots in this game did not punt. They did not commit a penalty. They held the ball for 36-plus minutes, and they needed a field goal on the last play of the game to win.
Right.
At home. You know, so I do think there was part of that Bill took a step back and said, it's a really good win, and it's a really important win in the grand scheme of things because – if you lose that tiebreaker, you know, who knows what Jacksonville is. Right now they look like they're a mess, but I still think they may be heard from before it's over. They have to play Pittsburgh still. Those are the teams that you're probably going to be competing with at the end. So at least they have a tiebreaker over one of them. They still have a chance to get the tiebreaker over another one, although the tie in there probably prevents that tiebreaker from being relevant. That was a big win. They needed that win. You couldn't afford to lose that one at home.
Okay, your phones on this and everything else. We've got Tim and Quinn on the Pats. Hi, Tim.
Whoa. Jesus. Yeah, sorry, guys. I got you on the speaker. I was going to ask you guys, Devin McCourty needs to be replaced. I think Bill knows this. It's pretty apparent. You know, you can't coach speed.
Okay, so I'm just going to stop him there. Your thoughts on the McCourty's / and the McCourty family / the Rutgers crew?
The Rutgers 3.
Yeah, the McCourty, I mean, it's funny because I think that you saw... Unfortunately, you got a chance to see it, just the straight line chasing. They can still run.
Yeah, Devin on the
kickoff return, he ran him down on the long one by Kareem Hunt. Jason McCourty eventually caught him. The problem is, I think they've lost some of their quickness, and clearly Devin McCourty is not playing as well as he has in his career.
Their safety play stinks right now, Paul.
My question would be, where do you turn? Okay, so Devin McCourty needs to be replaced. I'm not arguing. I'm not going all sunshine here and saying, oh, no. McCourty's been great. He'll be fine. He's struggling. Where do you go? Who should play? Do you move Eric Rowe to safety, maybe? I mean, do you talk about making dramatic changes in the secondary? You have a three-man rotation there with Harmon, McCourty, and Chung. They all play. So it's not like you put one of those guys in there for the other. They all three play. Nate Ebner is the other safety on the roster. I don't think he's an option. I don't know exactly what you do. Maybe you get some of these younger guys in there, Keon Cross and J.C. Jackson, and maybe you move some other guys around and try to cover it up. But right now, they're struggling.
Okay, we got to do baseball with Perlow as well. Crafty lefty for BU in the late 80s, early 90s, stalwart of the Park League. So he has some bona fides there. Rick and Woburn holding on David Price. Go ahead, Rick.
Straight cash, homie. What's up?
How you doing?
Hello.
Yeah, you're on. No grab ass. Just go.
Give me a couple of seconds, Felger. All right.
Stop grab assing.
Shutting everyone down.
Stop grab assing.
No, all right.
Go.
No, all right. Well, whatever. I mean, I like the whatever. You got the twin height t-shirts. The shirts.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
See you later, Rick.
Yeah, you didn't stop grab assing.
That might be the worst caller we have.
No. That would go to Scott and Weymouth.
All right.
Let's do them back to back.
20-second shot clock. Scott, go.
Boom. 3 points in 20 seconds. It's okay if the Pats give up 40 points tonight as long as they score 41 or more. Secondly, I hope John Henry is listening. If I see the Red Sox, it's their policy to wear red jerseys on Fridays and Saturdays. This is the American League Championship Series. They better have on their bleach white traditional jerseys. Okay? Thirdly, ratings. I don't know how they work. No one's ever called me to ask me if I was watching. How do ratings work? How do they know who's watching what? Thank you.
Okay. I'm not.
Use Google.
They're panels, right? Just forget about it.
Yeah, we're not going to call you to get your take either.
He got it in 20 seconds.
He did. Okay.
Magnets. How do they work?
I actually agree with him on the red jersey thing. You're the Red Sox. Act like it. You're not the Brewers. You know, you've got classic uniforms. Wear them. But that's aside. If the Patriots score 41 every night, does it matter that they give up 40?
No.
You can
kinda
win.
Kind of did in Super Bowl 52.
Why? But you're asking me if they win 41-40.
Right.
I think that that's in play this year.
No, can you live that way? Yeah, maybe, right?
Yeah, well, this year I think it's in play, incredibly. Because, look, you know how I feel. I value defense in every sport. I do. I value it. And I think to win a championship, you have to be able to stop somebody. But in the NFL now, I'm with Paul. I look at that league and I say, this is arena ball now. It's a joke. And so I don't enjoy the games as much as I used to. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching. I love the league. Okay. So, but I think that the quality of the product is suffering because all this is now is who can manage the points to the clock better than the other guy.
So you can look at the game Sunday night and be wildly entertained. I was, and I'm one of those guys, you know, I'm sort of, well, wake me in January. I'm a spoiled, rotten Patriots employee. I'll be the first to admit it. I was wildly entertained. Then the next night, C.J. Beathard put 30 on the board against Green Bay. So, like, what was really special? I mean, it was Brady and, you know, it was the old guard against the new guard. And this guy's really going to be good. And then the next night, C.J. Beathard does the same thing. What are we doing in this league?
You drove it home. Brock Osweiler went for 30.
31?
31.
31.
31.
I'm telling you, I think it's a problem because it is. It's just, they go up and down the field every night. It's like, it's just all about who, it's about the fantasy players.
In order to stop somebody now, it seems to me the offense has to make mistakes. You know, like Brady fumbled. That's how they got stopped once. They had a miscommunication on a fourth down early in the game, him and Josh Gordon.
Mahomes threw a pick in the end zone.
Those are the only two times the Patriots were stopped, right? On Kansas City's one punt, Sammy Watkins catches a pass with no one around him and fell down and only got 3 yards. Instead of 6 or 7, which would have created a much easier third down. Like, that to me is the only way anybody gets stopped now. Who comes up and makes 3 plays where maybe, you know, it either has to involve a penalty or a drop pass to put someone behind the chains and then you have a chance to get off.
What was Brady's line to Jim Gray the other night? I'm sorry, Mike.
That
it's a skills competition. That's what he said to Jim Gray the other night.
He actually said he felt bad for defenses.
So that's where we are. So it's just another crappy defense in a league of crappy defenses. Murray's update, then right back to you.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5,
the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
It was Houston Astros all-star Alex Bregman simply being Alex Bregman, showing off his swag, mixing in a little trolling, and the next thing anyone knew, his Instagram post was the biggest topic of conversation Monday before Game 3 of the American League Championship Series.
Going back on it is Smith, and he will watch that one go!
Here's Alex Bregman. Bregman drives one to left field. This ball is going to be gone! That ball crushed! Here's
a 2-2 and a wipeout slider. Down goes Springer. And the first out of the game for Eivaldi is a punch-out.
Nate was outstanding stuff-wise. He's one of the best left in October. You know, his fastball, his cutter. Overall, a great outing.
Nathan Eivaldi shuts up the Astros, excuse me.
Whoa, easy.
Shuts out the Astros. Paul, you got a overall big picture thought on the Red Sox? What's your lead take on the Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, just the timely hits have been the difference. I heard you guys as I was driving in, and you guys are right. I mean, neither side has really hit the ball, consistently getting hits. I think there have been a lot of hard hit balls. There were a lot of hard hit balls in that game on both sides that went right at guys. I think the outfield, you guys mentioned, a couple of the catches, some good plays. I thought there were opportunities, I thought, to get Keuchel out of that game early, and I was sort of looking at that. I'm like, they're letting this guy off the hook. He doesn't have his good stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's 2-2 when Pierce comes up with the big – that was huge. I think people have overlooked that because they broke the game open later, but I thought the Pierce home run to immediately get the lead back
– after the Devers play.
Was an enormous play. Yes, enormous.
I mean, I don't know how many pitches Keuchel ultimately threw, but
I was about 80. I think.
So he started to settle in there, right? Like he was again,
he wasn't missing any bats though. I would have gotten him out. I didn't think he looked very good.
See, but this is my thing again, like about, we're so now conditioned to just go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
That as right. a result, you get the closer in the eighth inning of a game. And now he's out there blowing the game for you when the reality is you could have pushed that whole thing back a little bit.
What an embarrassing inning he pitched.
Oh my God. It was awful. I mean, Osuna was horrible. Horrible. But again, I think it's like, the pitcher gets into trouble early in the game. He gives up two runs right out of the gate. Then he gives you four scoreless and you pull him with 80 pitches.
Yeah.
Like, so don't be afraid to get another inning or two out of him if you can. If he's going, keep it going.
All right.
Like, I just think it's getting to the point where it's downright just silly.
Red Sox and Patriots calls. Greg and Milford. Go, Greg.
Hey, guys. Couple quick points on the Sox. Tony, I don't know if you've noticed this, but what is with the Red Sox and their complete lack of ability to turn a double play in the playoffs?
So, I'm going to stop you there because your phone's not acceptable. Red Sox defense / infield defense, third base defense.
So I'd have to think about every circumstance last night. Was there a specific one that they should have turned a double play and didn't? And I don't remember one last night. It's possible that I'm forgetting.
Well, the Nunez play.
That he got the chopper?
The force at second. Yeah.
See, I didn't think he had I didn't think he had a shot for two on that. The ball wasn't hit hard enough. He was caught in between hops. Even if he came in and on the short hop instead of getting stuck in the middle, he wouldn't have gotten two. The ball just, too much air time on the ball. So now look, I am worried about the defense at third base. I'm even worried about the defense at first. Pierce isn't that good. He's playing above his head right now.
No. Have you seen a dude stretch like that guy?
He's been excellent fielding the throws. I don't think he's been as good on the ground balls. I didn't think that was an overly tough play yesterday that they gave up a base on. But I'm with Michael.
Freaking Gumby.
He has saved them a ton of errors. And, none bigger than the one to close out the series. If that goes down the line, they lose the game.
Sure.
That throw was wide. It wasn't just a great stretch.
Which one are you talking about?
It was wide. The one that ended the series, the Yankee series. I mean, that's a great play. I'm with you. I think he has done a really good job at first base.
Freaking building gymnast.
I know. I'm just telling you, I think he's overachieving. I don't think he's that good.
How does a dude stretch like that?
And I'm a little worried about Bogarts. Like that ball that was right the other day, it makes me feel like anything on the left side of the infield between short all the way to the third baseline is a trouble. Like, anything in the hole there, Bogarts has got me worried right now.
Steven Bilrucka, give me a Patriots take.
Hey, listen. I don't know why you guys keep saying this, but real quick, 30 seconds. If Kansas City scores on the first drive of the second half, They're only down one score. First of all, one score. This is the most expensive offense, down one score. So now they're going to, they have to win that game by playing a little bit more defense than the other team did. So they won that game the only way they really could. And Belichick, he has graded no better than an F on every category since last year's Super Bowl. He's done nothing to better this team. They're not that good.
Okay, so let me stop you. Do you agree they're not that good?
No, I think they're excellent on offense. I think they're just like everybody else on defense, average at best. Probably below average.
Are they improved or disimproved from last year?
They haven't improved. No, I mean, that part I'll agree with. I think that they have done the best they can to patch it together, you know, getting Josh Gordon. I think that has really helped because I think without him, I still worry, number one, first and foremost, about the depth because I think if you lose Edelman or Gronkowski, one of the two, you saw without Edelman that there was a difference. Now, they sort of figured it out in the fourth game with Miami, but I don't think that long-term against good teams that can score, you want to try to get in shootouts without Edelman or Gronk. So I worry about the depth.
We got Ty in Pawtucket with the Red Sox thought. Hi, Ty.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Ty. What's your take?
Good, yeah. So I want to know, I know you guys have been bashing on Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts for the past couple of weeks all throughout the postseason. Their production over the past few games has been pretty good. I just want to know.
I'm going to cut you off because who was bashing Jackie Bradley Jr.? I mean, excuse me, Mookie Betts this year. Who was bashing Betts? I mean, Maz at one used to say that he couldn't. You could pitch to him if you wanted to, and you didn't really say that much at all in the second half at all when he proved he could hit everything anywhere he wanted. So who was ragging on Mookie Betts? Don't be stupid, Jackie Bradley. Paul, I'll ask you the same question I asked the panel to lead off the show.
I'm guilty of that. I know you guys don't hear me talk about baseball, but I bash on Bradley.
Okay, well, so
he's got two huge hits.
Let me ask you.
You have eyes that work.
Hats
off.
Listen.
And I would DFA Osuna for giving up a grand slam to him in a playoff game.
Okay. If someone came to you today and said, here's a good middle reliever, a good eighth inning guy for Jackie Bradley Jr. in a trade, would you trade Jackie Bradley Jr. today?
I'd drive him to the airport.
Five for five.
Wow, the unkindest cut of all. Even Perillo would trade his ass.
I would turn into an Uber in a heartbeat.
So, I mean,
I just think defensive players in that league are kind of a dime a dozen. I think there are a lot of really good defensive catchers that can't hit and defensive outfielders that can't hit. The hard part is finding Mookie Betts, an outstanding defensive player who also hits at an all-star level.
Thank you.
That's the thing that's hard to find. That's why I'm hoping against all hope. I don't think it's going to happen, but they figure out a way to re-sign that guy.
Okay, so
that's a guy that you would miss if he was gone.
Once again, Houston has been accused, and even though they've been allegedly exonerated of cheating, let's face it, they were cheating. Let's face it.
Oh, Houston?
Yeah.
Dirty.
Let's also face the facts that how does the league and the umpires know they were cheating? I think that's pretty obvious, too.
Cleveland called them, right?
Cleveland?
Didn't Cleveland call the Red Sox and say, check out this guy?
That's the public story.
Why do you think the Red Sox would need to field a call from Cleveland when their former bench coach, who was on the ground floor of all that stuff last year, is now your manager?
Mangini?
How do you really feel, exactly, that Major League Baseball, the umpires, found out about Houston cheating? Because you have Eric Mangini for a manager.
Well, I mean,
you have Ryan Grigson for a manager. You have Mike Tannenbaum, if you prefer, for a manager, which is fine, which is, to me, a great little switch because now you understand how those teams felt in that situation when they knew you were cheating and they, had to protect their house and protect their team. So they turned you in, as they should have. And Alex Cora did the same thing with the Houston Astros, the exact same thing.
I mean, just look at last year. I mean, didn't the Red Sox and Yankees both get in trouble?
Yeah.
You know, accusing each other, Apple Watches, and all kinds of so-called sophisticated ways of cheating? I mean, let's face it.
Okay, so the bottom line is, the Major League Baseball brushes this under the rug versus the NFL, which investigates it. That's just the nature of the sport. But be that as it may, Houston did take a page from the Patriots handbook, so thank God we have an employee here from Kraft Sports Production who can speak to more of this stuff, which we'll get to right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Interesting sight here between innings. So they were looking at the catcher's mitt, Maldonado's mitt. That's Joe West, the crew chief. Boy, the home plate umpire. I mean, you would have to guess that they're checking for a foreign substance.
Yeah, I mean, the way he's rubbing in a palm, it's almost like he's checking for pine tar or that kind of something sticky.
It's going to be one of those series. There's going to be a lot of check the ball, check the glove, step out.
Read the rule book.
Where are the cameras? I mean, this is a series of paranoia for these two managers.
As Maz said earlier, that was in game one, and the broadcasters kind of went to the camera thing, which leads you to believe they sort of knew.
Oh, I think that, look, the broadcast teams, the production teams, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. They meet with both sides regularly, and certainly before the series, and they all, you know, there were guys that worked there that know people on either team. Darling's been in baseball a long time, and there are people whispering in their ears, yeah, like, watch these guys, keep an eye on it, because they're doing this. We know they're doing that. And so all of a sudden, in game one, sixth inning of game one, they're checking a mitt for pine tar. Sixth inning, and they're talking about cameras, and then two games later, there's some donkey standing in the photographer's pit with a cell phone taking pictures of the Red Sox dugout. Like, I think they were clued in early that both sides thought the other side was up to something rotten.
So we asked, how does Alex Cora's inside knowledge of the Astros play in this series? And maybe this is one of the ways. He knows how you cheat. He knows how they cheat. And so they came in and tried to cheat the same way, and he said, no, I can't let you do that. Just like Eric Mangini. Just like Ryan Grigson. Exactly. Can't help but make that comparison. It's impossible to hear this story and read this story, just not have all the Patriots overlap. In fact, some great quotes from baseball executives, like what, Mazur?
So there was one in the story by Jeff Passan, and this one I thought was, like, unbelievable.
Couldn't wait 6 minutes for this.
The Astros are the Patriots of Major League Baseball. That was the line.
When I first read that, because it wasn't in context, you just sent the quote, I'm like, is he talking about their resilience? Their excellence.
Mental toughness.
Their mental toughness. What are they talking? Oh, no. The fact that they're the most inveterate known cheaters in the league.
Yeah. No, their cheating ability. That's what they're comparing them to. I just think it's interesting now that every time there's a scandal, for example, we add, like, Watergate. Watergate is the standard for any scandal, so that we attach gate onto everything. Now, anytime a team cheats, we compare them to the Patriots. No, really, like, there is something to really feel good about if you are a Patriots fan. Any cheating scandal in sports, they will look at it and go, they are the Patriots of Major League Baseball. I'm sure the Crafts love that. They must really revel that their organization is now equated on those terms.
Well, I'm sure they're exceptionally happy that I'm sitting here listening to you two clowns talking about it, too.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Five more minutes.
It's just so
Find
natural.
Find my happy place.
It's so easy. I'm not the baseball executive. We said they're the Patriots of
the Patriots of Major League Baseball. Wow.
I agree. They're the best team in baseball.
You know, I think we should find out who are the Patriots of the NBA and who are the Patriots of the
Warriors.
NHL.
The Warriors are the Patriots. I mean, come on. So, perennial powers. That's the reference.
So obviously the difference between Cora and Mangini and Tannenbaum and Grigson is that Mangini, Tannenbaum, and Grigson suck, haven't won a damn thing, will never win a damn thing, are useless. Cora feels like he knows what he's doing and his team could win a championship.
So yeah, very impressive. I agree. Cora's done a great job.
Obviously, there's one difference there. But the whole thing is, you know, that's the inside knowledge. He knows where their bodies are buried. He knows their dirty tricks. And I think this could crawl inside of Houston's head if it hasn't a little bit already. You know, it's sort of like, Alex knows all of our little stuff, all of our crap. And I don't know, between the thing that happened yesterday with Jackie Bradley Jr. and getting to Osuna, and Osuna hitting two guys on 0-2, 1-2 counts with two outs in the eighth inning and then giving up a grand slam to Jackie bleeping Bradley. Like, that's a big turning moment right there. Between that, them calling out Evaldi, him winning, like, all of this sort of adds up. And I feel like you're on the precipice of winning a championship, Paul. I mean, honestly, that's how I feel, because I think you're going to wash through that National League team, whoever it is.
I think that either the Astros or the Red Sox will win the World Series, but I'm not ready to put this series in the win column yet. I think a lot of the Astros, I mean, dirty cheaters or not, I mean, I don't know if they're any more dirty than anybody else. I have no doubt they're cheating. But I have respect for the lineup and the pitching, and I haven't really seen anything so far that would lead me to believe. I mean, even Cole the other night, who looked like he was sort of overwhelmed by the moment, settled down.
Well, he's good stuff.
But he settled down and he gave him some innings. And then ultimately he ended up giving up another hit to Bradley. Give Bradley credit, as much as we mock him. I mean, he has two huge hits. I think that might be his only two hits. But Seven RBIs on those two swings. Those are the two key swings of the series that ultimately turned it around.
Mass, did you say that the Houston GM said he believes X knew what they were doing, or was
something to that effect? I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. I think he met with the media in Houston just a little while ago, and he was asked about, you know, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, so I haven't seen the exact comments yet, but he was asked about the fact that Cora, having been part of their operation, does that make him privy to the way the Astros do things? And he effectively said yes. Now, I don't know if that was directly in response to a question about the cheating.
Right.
But more to, you know, does Alex have some inside understanding as to how you're going to approach things? And he effectively said yes. So that's how I interpret it, is about the cheating and everything else. Of course, that's how I interpret everything. So I'm eager to see what the exact comments were, and we're trying to track those down.
Okay, Paul, in your minute you have left, give me 60 seconds on Patriots-Bears. Tricky spot for the Pats, isn't it?
I definitely thought it was a tricky spot up until I saw them lose to Brock Osweiler. I thought they were a little bit better. Now, I will give Chicago a little bit of a pass. I think it was oppressively hot, and I think they wore down in the second half. I think it was pretty apparent. Khalil Mack's ankle is bothersome for me. I do think the Patriots haven't won on the road. I think that'll be a point of emphasis during the course of the week. I think they'll try to put a better effort in. But I do agree with you. I think it's a tricky spot. I think the Patriots will win, but I don't think it'll be a walkover.
Do you think? Well, I was going to ask you about Chicago's defense. Is that the kind of defense that can give the Patriots trouble?
If they can get after the passer. But I think the offensive line has done a really good job. I want to say the Patriots are like third or fourth in the league and fewest sacks allowed per pass play. Now the Bears have... right at the top of the league in sacks per pass play. So it'll be a contrast of styles. If Mack can get loose, and I don't think Marcus Cannon will be available, it could be Adrian Waddle, who has been against Mack in the past and done pretty well. That could be a key matchup that we're talking about next Monday.
Okay, Paul, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it, pal.
See you, Paul.
We will see you next Tuesday, and good luck there with your Kraft Sports Productions and all of that. Stay off the sidelines.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We've got an hour to go. I will reset our thoughts from the Red Sox win yesterday going into tonight, and I'll just tell you why again. I think you're about this close to a championship, and yesterday's eighth inning and Jackie Bradley's grand slam put you just about this close to me saying, you got it. You're in.
You're easy.
No, I'm just smart. I'm prescient is what I am.
You're easy.
Gasper,
if you were a woman at a bar, everybody would be hitting on you.
Gasper, we'll define that for you if you ask. Here's a Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.